I bring you greetings from your brothers and sisters at Kearney Evangelical Free Church. It has been a blessing for Pastor Gary and myself, Pastor Mark, to both be at English Camp. As you could tell, our theme this year was a cowboy theme. And the title of our theme was A Wild Ride. And camp was fun. It got a little wild. And God's Spirit has been at work. Thank you for your prayers for us. And thank you to Pastor Smentana for the honor of bringing God's Word to you in your new beautiful building this morning. And our scripture reading for this morning comes from the first one from the book of Luke. And I'll be reading chapter 19, verses 28 through 30. You want a Bible? Luke 19, 28 to 30. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany, at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it.'" Our second reading is from the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 8. And we will read verses 23 through 27. Matthew 8, 23. Then he got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. Without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake, so that the waves were swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us! We are going to drown." He replied, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him."
Proč krásné a říkali, kdo to jen je, že ho poslouchají světelé krimotem.
I grew up admiring cowboys. I wanted to be tough enough to survive the environment. I wanted to be good enough to defeat the bad guy. I wanted to have a horse that I could trust and depend on. Being a cowboy was a wonderful dream. So when I was 16 years old, I decided to experience the life of a cowboy. I went on a trip in the Colorado mountains, riding a horse and living like a cowboy. And after 1 week of living like a cowboy, I no longer wanted to be a cowboy. Living in a natural environment was fun at times. But it was also a great deal of work. The hardest part of the trip, however, was the horse. I did not get along with the horse that I had for the trip. No matter what I did or said, the horse did what it wanted. It would walk under branches and then it would hit me in the face. It would brush up against trees to knock me off. It would stop to eat anytime it saw something good. The horse I rode was old and well trained, but stubborn. The horse and I struggled to determine who was in control. How much of your life is a struggle with your environment? You live in a house to protect yourself from the environment. The house keeps you dry, and you can heat it in the winter. In the same way, your clothes are designed to protect you from the environment. And the farmer who grows your food struggles with the environment. He must prepare the soil, plant at the right time, and protect the crops from destructive insects and diseases. And all of this increased the cost of the food, which you must pay for. And because you must pay for food and clothing and shelter, you must work. And to help pay for things that everybody uses, you also must pay taxes. But the struggle of life goes beyond the environment. You struggle with the weakness of your own mind and body.
Mm-hmm.
Sooner or later, you meet challenges that you do not have the strength or will to overcome. As your body ages, things begin to fail. As your mind ages, it begins to fail. The struggle affects every part of your life. Your health, your relationships, your community, your country, and the world. If you focus on these struggles too much, it will lead to despair. Does life really need to be like this? There is an American sport that grew out of the days of the cowboy. The sport is bull riding. The bull is a male cow. The bull is a huge, strong animal that does not want anything or anybody on its back. One untamed bull. The goal is for the man to sit on the back of the wild bull for as long as he can, up to 8 seconds. The bull jumps, it'll kick, it'll throw its body around wildly until the bull rider is thrown off. The man will never beat the bull. The bull will always throw the man off. The bull rider is only trying to stay on the bull for 8 seconds and be judged for the best of the bull rider. It is a wild ride. In a sense, life is like that bull ride. You will not beat the struggles of life. You can only hang on as long as you can. As we read, the Bible tells us about someone who chose to ride an untamed animal. I'm sure there were those around him that were expecting a wild ride. They knew that when a person tries to ride an untamed animal, there is a struggle. Until the animal is trained, the person will always lose the struggle. This animal is not a bull or a horse, but a young donkey, which is called a colt. Back to Luke 19:28-30. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethpage and Bethany, at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here."
Okay.
We're going to read one more verse, verse 35. They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks and on the colt, and put Jesus on it. And as he went along, the people spread their cloaks on the road. Luke 19:35.
Předete zpátku k Ježíšovi, protože chce z své práce a Ježíše na mě posadil. A jak jel, prostě mu své práce na cestu.
The Bible does not record their response, but at least two of them had to have been quite surprised when Jesus simply sat on an untamed animal and rode it. There was no struggle between Jesus and the colt. This ability is seen more dramatically in another account of Jesus' life. So we'll go back to Matthew chapter 8, verses 23-25. Then he got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. Without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went to him, woke him, and saying, Lord, save us, we are going to drown. This was a boat ride. A wild boat ride. Many of Jesus' disciples were fishermen. And I'm sure these fishermen had taken their boats through many storms. But this storm made them very afraid. They came to Jesus, Lord, save us, we are going to drown. Can you picture them? These are men in a small wooden boat. A huge storm, loud, noisy winds. Enormous waves, nowhere to go. No safe place to hide from the fierce power of the storm. They felt like they were at the mercy of the storm. And such a storm has no mercy. Have you ever felt that helpless? You feel so small, and the struggles are like a huge storm. Do you feel helpless and the struggles build up without mercy? What can be done? You fight against the struggles of life as long as you can. But sooner or later, the struggles will be greater than your fight. Without mercy, the struggles of this life will take your life. I can picture the disciples working as hard as they can, fighting the storm. They rolled oars and they bailed the water, but the storm is just too strong. In absolute desperation, they cry out to Jesus, "Lord, save us! We are going to drown." And what is Jesus doing this whole time? He is peacefully taking a nap. Can you believe it? Jesus is not full of panic. He's not full of fear. He's full of peace. And then he asked them a question that had to seem crazy to them at the time. He says, "Oh, you of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Here are the disciples fighting against the storm for their very lives. The wave crashing in, the boat is sinking, and Jesus asked them, "Why are they afraid?" But he also points out to them the real problem. He tells them that they have little faith. In a sense, he is telling them that they are trusting in the wrong things. They are trusting their boat, which cannot withstand the storm. They are trusting their strength, which is too weak. Where is your faith? What are you trusting to get you through the storms and struggles of life? Are you trusting in your own strength? Are you trusting in the things you can buy or achieve in this life? Are you trusting in governments or social programs? Are you trusting in a religion that says you can earn peace and safety if you obey these religious rules? In this story, Jesus does not tell you who to trust. He shows you who to trust. As verse 26 tells us, he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. And the disciples' response to this is the right one. Verse 27, the men were amazed, and they asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Jesus is the one with the authority and power to overcome the struggles of this life. We have seen Jesus calm a raging storm. We have seen him ride a colt that has never been ridden. But Jesus did not do these things to show off his power. He did these things so that you would trust him with something far more important. When the disciples were in the middle of the storm, they woke Jesus and yelled, "Lord, save us!" Their physical lives were in danger, and they wanted to be rescued. But Jesus warned us that there is something far more important than our physical lives. You have a physical life that is in danger, and you have a spiritual life that is also in danger. This physical life is temporary. Your body will die. But you also have a spiritual life that is eternal. The danger is that your eternal spirit is separated from God. It is separated because of sin. Sin is disobedience to God. And all of us disobey. We are all guilty of sin. And sin leads to death. Not just physical death, but eternal death. Eternal separation from God's love and protection. As those guilty of sin, we need to be saved. We need to be rescued. As Jesus rode the colt that had never been ridden, he rode into Jerusalem. And over the next few days of Jesus' life, he would be rejected and hung on a cross. He would die a brutal death. He would not die because he had done wrong. He would die because we have done wrong. Jesus came to rescue us. He did not come with armies to rescue. But he came to give his life for your life and mine. Jesus died on a cross to pay the price for my sins and yours. But Jesus did not stay dead. Just as he showed his power over the colt and over the storm, he showed his power over death and sin by rising from the dead after 3 days. The struggles of this life are real and at times overwhelming. But Jesus is greater than those struggles. And he promises to walk with you through them. And when this physical body gives up the struggle, Jesus promises a new body and eternity with him. And the Bible tells us what to do in John chapter 20, verse 31. John chapter 20, verse 31 tells us, "But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name."
Tato však jsou zapsána, abyste věřili, že Ježíš je Kristus, Syn Boží, aby věříte, měli život v Jeho jménu.
You can talk to God in prayer.
Můžete promluvit Bohu v modlitbě.
Tell Him that you realize that you've disobeyed Him.
Povězte mu, že jste uvědomili, že jste zapsali.
Tell Him that you understand that Jesus paid the price for your sins by dying on the cross. Tell Him that you want to live a new life of thankfulness for what Jesus has done for you. Are you ready for the wild ride of living for God? Let's come to Him. Father, we thank You for sending Your Son, Jesus. Lord, You gave the best You had. You gave Your Son on our behalf. Thank You that He showed us the power that He has over all that is made. But we thank You even more that He showed that He has power over sin and death. Father, we are weak and we have needs. Help us to trust You and Your strength. We thank You, Father, for the gift of life that You offer us. For those of us following Jesus, may we take that life and live it to the full. For any here who have not trusted Jesus, that You would show Yourself to them and draw them to Yourself. We thank You for all that You did through English Camp, and we pray, Lord, that You will continue to work in each heart and life, even today and in the days to come. We give these things to You in the name of Jesus.